Welcome to The Detail. I am your host, Kathy Antunes, and you are listening to The Detail on WSLR 96.5 LPFM in Sarasota, Florida, and WBPV 100.1 LPFM in Bradenton, Florida. Well, we're going through something in this country. My guest today is Mike Cosentino, and we're going to be discussing his editorial about the comprehensive plan and affordable housing in the city of Sarasota. But Mike is also a gun owner, and we're going to give some time also to talk about what's going on in this country. But Mike Cosentino, thank you so much for joining me. And for those who don't know you, maybe you can just tell people a little bit about who you are and how long you've been in Sarasota and what you're up to these days.
Well, thank you very much, Kathy. I'd first of all like to start by just thanking you for your not only steadfast advocacy, but for just your constant efforts to educate people about our local issues. And, you know, as a candidate, sometimes I get a little frustrated, you know, that you don't advocate for me a little bit more because of our friends and the ways we feel about things. But honestly, I totally respect that because, as you've always told me, you have to remain completely neutral because it's all about voter education.
And, yeah, sure.
I hope we can help the audience today. My mom was a 1952 Sarasota High graduate. My father started the construction company I run today in 1956. I graduated from Riverview in 1982. I've spent my whole life here, and I think we have a lot of, I think all Sarasotans have very much common ground, and I think that it's the education that you provide and others through this radio station that are the key to our future, because an informed population makes better decisions.
Yeah, and so, you know, a lot of this stuff, as you know, Mike, if you're not familiar with land use planning, but, you know, there's this sort of wonky aspect to it that can get that can feel like, if you're unfamiliar with it, oh, I don't want to bother with that. It's too much to understand. And so what we're going to try to do today is you've written a great editorial that the Herald Tribune published. It was in yesterday's paper. You can see it online. You can just Google Mike Cosentino, Sarasota Herald Tribune, and it will show up. And you're basically saying, is affordable housing something we can basically kiss goodbye given the comp plan changes in the city? But what I'd like to just encourage everyone, I'm going to ask you to walk us through this issue. And the thing about it, folks, is everybody cares about affordable housing. Everybody cares about traffic. And if you care about these things, it's actually really not that hard to understand what happens. And it is the local level. It is local decisions that really determine what your housing outlook is, you know, and what your commute is going to be like and public transportation. So let's just start, Mike, with why did you write this? You actually don't live in the city.
Correct.
But what motivated you to write about this issue?
Well, I have been a resident of District 4 since I was born, but the counties...
And Siesta Key.
Well, I grew up off of the island,
okay,
over by where 41 crosses Philippi Creek, but I have been in that same district since I was born. When the county redistricted to try to protect Mike Moran back in 2018, that shifted me from District 4 to District 2. And so I have always tangentially paid attention to the city's issues, but as a candidate for county commission, that is part of my district. And not unlike the residents of the county in general, but essentially the same thing is going on in the city. You've got four or five commissioners who are essentially puppets of the development cabal, and then Jen Ahern Koch trying to hold down the fort for all the residents by herself. And so it's just the constant, I think the way I described it in my article was the public's concerns seem to get slapped away while I flies at a picnic.
Yeah, I mean, I know. So there's a preliminary vote to change the comp plan, and correct. It was 4-1 to do that. I have to say, though, it's been my experience since really 2008. I've been watching closely the city and the county. And the city, I would say, you know, we absolutely have issues with the county being, you know, quote unquote, bought by right. special interests. The city is not as tough a nut to crack. So I just want to encourage people, you know, it's a tough thing to say politicians are bought, but we have a system right now which encourages that dynamic in this country and in our state. And the state actually is preempting our own campaign finance laws. It's really horrible, I think. But let's hold out some hope that there's another vote, because a supermajority vote is required to change the comp plan, and you only need one of those four to reconsider. But why are these comp plan changes so troubling? What are they exactly?
Well, it's and you see this all the time. There's the message which something is sold by, and mm-hmm. there's the reality of what's going on. And yeah. so what the proposal essentially does is not only does it not provide any affordable housing, but it sets in path a motion that will preclude there from ever being affordable housing in the city of Sarasota. And so when you look at how disingenuous this entire thing is, because they're selling it based on X when it's actually producing Y, it's producing the exact opposite results of the way that they're selling it. And I think that people, and I just want to say that, you have to, and you're right, sometimes you get caught down in the weeds, but when you look at the way that our government is set up, and there's been a lot of talk of the strong mayor and this and that, but this is all set forth in Chapter 166 of the Florida Statutes, and what we have is a county commission, county administrator system. In that system, the way that it's written, the county administrator deals with everything under his level, and the county commission talks to him.
Are you talking about the city still, though?
The city and the county are the same.
Well, okay.
In that regard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And yeah. so what I'm driving at is that, and this ties to the administrative approval of development that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, what it is it's just the city trying to pass the buck on to someone else. And so whether it's the administrative approval or Steve Cover trying to get this thing through, make no mistake, he is following orders of the city commission. This is not something that staff just created out of thin air.
Okay,
this is
so being let's driven. Back up a bit, because you're using terms administrative approval, and Steve Cover is the director of planning
correct.
For the city of Sarasota, and an administrative approval. So I'll define it, then I want you to correct me, because I'm sure you're going to have a you know, something to add or change here. But administrative approval refers to a process whereby if a proposal is considered compliant with the existing code, the administration can just go ahead and approve it. It doesn't have to have a hearing, you know, have a public hearing the way a lot of things do. And the concern about that, well, it's been an issue for people in the city, because there's a trust issue. What will get approved that we won't know about, basically? So is that a fair summation?
You know, if we had a 10-hour show,
yeah, right.
We could, and so it is difficult to get into these things. But I can tell you, as the owner of Sarasota's oldest construction company, I think that the administrative review and approval is actually, it's thrown out there as a big scary thing,
yeah.
and it confuses people. But I can tell you, every building I've ever built in my career is administrative approval. You have a set of land development regulations, and the staff checks it out against those regulations and approves it. And so it's really not a big deal. What it is, and just like misnaming these comprehensive plan changes as affordable housing, administrative review is basically a reflection of the fact that these things that people ask for should be done through the special exception process.
Okay, so let's, before you get into that, what exactly are the comp plan changes that they approved with this 4-to-1 vote that really aren't serving affordable housing?
Again, what it is, and you have to go to the state statutes, and there are states, there's a state statute, and this is a problem, and this is one of the biggest problems we face in all different forms, is that the state is taking away our home rule powers and taking away our ability to self-government. And I think that most people
would
agree.
Under this administration and the prior one.
It's look at the law that Greg Stubbe wrote as a state congressman back in 2012 that eliminated the local government's ability to restrict short-term vacation rentals in residential neighborhoods. To me, that's amongst the biggest and most damning things against
Hotel
affordable
houses.
Housing is because what we've done is we've made our residential neighborhoods more attractive to out-of-town investors that then just turn them into hotels. So that's what's wrong with our affordable housing is that
houses, and that was a Greg Stubbe creation.
That's absolutely correct. But it's a statutory preemption thing. What the state has done, as they often do, our legislature is essentially just like our local government. It's run by developers. Mm-hmm. And so this statutory preemption has said that if a county or municipality decides that they're going to require affordable housing as part of any approval, then they have to make the developer whole. Okay. And so that is the entire problem. And so all of these comprehensive plan changes.
When did that happen?
Pardon me?
Making the developer whole. Was that recent? That
no.
legislation?
And I you know what? I don't have that in my notes. It's been many years.
Okay.
Okay. And so what that means is that if you're going to say, okay, you're allowed to build 10 floors, we're going to allow you to build 13 floors if you put an affordable housing component in there. Well, whatever that affordable housing component is, isn't borne by the developer, and it isn't borne by the local government. When it says that the local government has to pay for it, that means us. We're the taxpayers. Mm-hmm. And what I set forth in my article is the fact that there's not a more expensive place to build in Sarasota per square foot than in the downtown core. And so if the taxpayers are responsible for the entire bill anyway, then rather than paying $600 or $800 a square foot for affordable housing in the downtown core, maybe you move that out to the edges or elsewhere where you can build for $300 a square foot, and you're getting a lot more bang for the taxpayer's buck. Mm-hmm. But what I set forth in my article, and this goes back to your other argument, is getting away from the administrative review. If what they're basically doing is just allowing what should be done in a public setting with public hearings through the special exception process is now just being done through the administration. And so by making these part of your regular land development regulations, as opposed to having them go through the special exception process, then they put these requirements in there. When they put the requirements for affordable housing in there, then what specifically and exactly that does is it just puts the taxpayers on the hook for anything that happens. It's
okay,
just
so I'm going to recap this.
Go ahead.
What you're saying is that if you upfront require affordable housing, so developer has no choice.
Correct.
The developer must do it.
Correct.
Then any claim they have that this is costing me money, you guys are hurting my profitability, and they make that case, then the taxpayers are on the hook to pay the developer for the loss.
Correct.
Okay. And what the special exception process is it's like an incentive. In other words, you can build more than you're allowed to, right? This is how my understanding of using density to using increasing the number of units per acre or unit can work for affordable housing. And frankly, it's what's been done. It still can get ruined in the end. We've seen the bought commission flake out on this time and time again. But they'll say when it's a promise of an incentive when it's not required. And you say the developer, look, we'll let you, instead of five stories, you can build nine, but two floors of the extra, two of the four extra, have to be affordable. Then, under state law, the taxpayers aren't on the hook. Is that a fair understanding when it's an special exception?
It's a fair understanding with one small difference.
Okay.
You're letting the developer make the offer, and then you can accept or reject that offer. So offer can't come from the city.
I see.
You're incentivizing the developers. And if you were at those, you know, the nine-hour public hearing, and developers from Miami, developers from New York, developers from all over the country have come here and, in my opinion, feigned concern for affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
Quite frankly, they're concerned with profits. And I don't mm-hmm. demonize that. That's why, in fact, developers develop. They don't develop out of the goodness of their heart. They develop to make money. Most people mm-hmm. that go to work to make money, and so do they. They're not any different than anyone else. What I'm saying is, rather than build this in, which is the way that the developers have, believe me when I say the developers crafted this legislation for themselves. And what it has basically done is set up a giant feeding trough for them to be able to just suck public money. It's not unlike Bridget Ziegler and those people are doing with the school boards. I guess that's something that I know you're very well aware of. These charter schools, they're not designed to educate students. They're designed to suck away public money out of public education. Mm-hmm. And that's all that this proposal is. It's setting up a way for developers to just drag our money and do absolutely nothing for the affordable housing process.
You know, the UTC Mall,
yes,
way back in the early, you know, early iterations, the early proposals of that mall, affordable housing was part of it. And then, you know, the downturn came and there was a hearing. I actually posted it in the citizen group, Citizens for Sarasota County, posted some video, the video of that meeting where people, a younger version of me and Dan Lobeck and, you know, other people came forward and said, you know, because they were getting rid of the affordable housing component. And they said, oh, basically because the real estate market has bottomed out, we don't need affordable housing because everything's so cheap now. And there were many of us who said, this is a bad idea, what you're doing. And we've seen it too often that affordable housing is just used, right, to get concessions. And then at the end, it's like Lucy with the football and Charlie Brown comes kicking. And then, you know, the commission takes the football away. Oh, so sorry. Yeah, we're just going to take out affordable housing. You poor developer. You don't need to do it.
Right.
So
time and again.
Time and again.
When you look at it, and I'll tell you, in getting ready for today, I was looking through when the county did its comprehensive plan update in 2016. And I was there, you were there, Dan Lobeck was there, Tom Matrullo was there, and we were all mm-hmm. distraught at that time because the county was removing all of the affordable housing requirements for increased mm-hmm. density in East County. And this is just the same thing. This is, and I think what's frustrating about people like us mm-hmm. is that we're just watching this, we're watching the same record over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And they use this red herring of affordable housing to get changes in the land development regulations. And even with the Duaney plan, in 20 years mm-hmm. under the Duaney plan,
Andres Duaney,
correct,
mm-hmm. yeah,
has produced a grand total of exactly zero affordable housing units in the city of Sarasota. Mm-hmm. And so you look at Lofts on Lemon and stuff like that, that was done with federal assistance.
And you know what? Historically in this country, that's how it works.
That's how it works.
It's federal assistance that brings in the affordable
housing.
That's
how it works. But there's some ways, and I set them forth in my article, and there's many other ways. But mm-hmm. honestly, the best thing that we could do, the most, and I think you have a better chance of having a beer with Jesus this afternoon than seeing this happen. But we need the legislature to repeal the Greg Stubbe's bill from 2012, and we need to allow our local governments
about hotel houses
to govern what happens in our residential neighborhoods.
What happened to that small government is the best government and the government closest to the people is the government you want? I mean, I'm looking at a party I don't recognize anymore in the state, basically grabbing control from local governments. It's crazy.
It's absolutely crazy. And if I would encourage anybody to go to either the Florida League of Cities, the Florida Bar, or the Florida Association of Counties websites, and just Google in and put in your search word statutory preemption, I'm a pay attention kind of guy.
But hang on, that's when the state statutory preemption means that is when the state legislature creates a law which preempts or takes precedence over the local laws. And we've seen it like in the city of Sarasota, the state has preempted our campaign finance laws this cycle. So you used to be able to require for candidates for city commission, only natural born persons can donate and it can't be more than $200. Now it's, you know, like Citizens United, corporations can donate and the limit's $1,000. So it's just blown the lid off of, you know, special interest money in city elections.
It absolutely has.
Not because the city voters wanted it, but because the state decided the for state, everybody.
Correct. Now, the state statute always said it was $1,000.
Per
cycle.
For the state.
But the local governments were allowed. And so, and this is under Article 7 of the Florida Constitution is...
Well, someone ought to sue, Mike, because if it's in the Constitution, I don't even know if what the state did is legal.
I know. What the Constitution does is it allows the counties and municipalities to govern in any area that's not explicitly laid out in the state statutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gives them the opportunity to now write into the state statutes, okay, now you can't do this. Okay, now you can't do that. And
yeah.
I can tell you, that's why towns like Longboat Key are in the catbird seat, because they actually incorporated and became a town in 1955. Mm. And there are a lot of things that are not able to be preempted from them because they have been established. It's
but the city is older than
and the city is too. So and I got off subject.
Yeah, I know.
I apologize.
Yeah.